There's something not quite right in the call narratives in the Gospels. This passage in Mark illustrates what I mean. Jesus walks up to Levi, a tax collector, and calls him to drop everything and follow him. That is, to join Jesus in his itinerant ministry of proclaiming the good news of the inbreaking reign of God. I have trouble accepting this picture of Levi simply abandoning his customs post, his superiors and colleagues in the toll collecting business, his family and his friends. I have trouble accepting this especially because we are given no indications that Levi and Jesus were acquainted before this encounter. Wouldn't there be repercussions from his superiors if he were to suddenly abandon his responsibilities and take off with Jesus? Wouldn't family members wonder why he didn't come home from work to rejoin them for the evening meal? Could it have been this neat a move, this simple a move? I think we are dealing here with a literary form, one that is repeated in many of the call scenes in the Gospels. It may be that we are supposed to discern an implicit comparison between the call narratives in the Old Testament and those at the time of Jesus' public ministry. In the First Testament, the person, usually a man, whom God is calling into service raises objections or asks to go home and take leave of his parents. By contrast, the first disciples who abandon everything and enter into a radical form of relationship with Jesus are portrayed as turning on a dime, as it were. No objections, no negotiating, no hesitating. Indeed, when someone asks Jesus if he may go home and bid farewell to his family, and when someone else asks if he can first bury his deceased father, Jesus is very stern with them. The inbreaking reign of God will brook no compromise. I find the portrait of the first disciples that we find spread throughout Mark's gospel as much more realistic. Mark portrays them as largely uncomprehending about the true nature of Jesus' mission and ministry. In fact, his identity is most reliably recognized in the gospel only towards its end, when not a disciple, but a Gentile, the centurion who is in charge of Jesus' execution, publicly proclaims, "Truly this was the Son of God." And he says this just at the moment when Jesus dies. I really appreciate Mark's portraying the disciples as having a very difficult time understanding what Jesus was up to. When I look back on my own discipleship experience over these more than 80 years, I see a very zigzagging pattern. I have all too often been mediocre in my response to Christ's call, and have all too often tried to avoid the cross that I was being asked to take up and carry. Speaking of crosses, there are two Brians, a blessed and a saint, who were hanged for being Catholic in the time of Queen Elizabeth I. One was Blessed Brian Lacy, a Yorkshire gentleman. He was betrayed by his brother for being an assistant to a cousin who was a priest in hiding. The other was St. Brian Arrowsmith of the Society of Jesus, who was listed by his confirmation name, Edmund. He was portrayed for engaging in secret masses for Catholic families. I've jokingly, or not so jokingly, said to friends when mentioning these holy men that I might need a second chance to be a martyr. The first time might not go so well. But these two holy Brians got it right the first time. Friends, let us continue to pray that, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we hold steady during these extremely difficult times. and that we continue to love even those who consider us their enemy, recalling that by love, Jesus means doing good for those who seek to harm us. It's not a matter of feelings, but of choosing, graced choosing. And I continue to ask the risen Jesus to keep working patiently with me, that more and more, as it says in the spiritual exercises, I may not be deaf to his call, but ready and diligent to accomplish his most holy will.